I'm always very happy when I read this sentence from today's gospel, where the scribes and the Pharisees are criticizing Jesus, and they say, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." The reason that makes me happy, because if it weren't true, none of us would be here tonight. You know, all of us here are sinners, and we gather around the table of the Lord, the altar, to share the Eucharistic meal with him, because he came for sinners, not for the just. So the only way to get an invitation to the Eucharistic table is to admit the fact that we are sinners, to know that to be true. I'd like to begin today's reflections with today's gospel passage, which is sometimes referred to as the passage with the three parables, the three lost parables. The first parable is the story about the lost sheep. The second is a parable about the lost coin. And the third one is the parable about the lost son. And all of us here are invited by the scriptures to find ourselves in those stories. Now, the parables have been referred to by scripture scholars as cousins of a joke. They're stories with surprises in them that we're supposed to find funny. Most of us aren't surprised by them because we've heard them so many times, and most of us don't see the humor. But I'd like to look at today's parables as stories that Jesus tells with humor in order to teach us a lesson. The first is the parable of the lost sheep. Jesus tells this story by asking a question. The question is this: what man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And the reasonable answer to that question is none of us, right? No reasonable person would leave 99 sheep behind in a dangerous place in order to go look for one lost sheep. And that's the funny part about this. Those listening to Jesus, I'm going to say that's really funny, because nobody would ever do that. That would be something only a foolish man would do. And then Jesus says, well, the kingdom of God is like this, because there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. God's way of thinking is not our way of thinking, and God's way of acting is not our way of acting. For us to understand the scriptures, the gospels especially, and the parables, it's important for us to understand that these stories are not so much about us as they are about God. You know, they are a revelation of what God is like, the way he thinks and the way he acts. Jesus is the fullest revelation of God. God become one of us to share our life, and he reveals to us by his actions and by his word what God is like. And God is not like us. No, we shouldn't look at the scriptures to find something reasonable, because God is not reasonable in the same sense that human beings are. And that's proven by the second parable that Jesus tells. This one is a story told about women. He says, what woman among you who having 10 coins loses one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully till she finds it? Now, we're supposed to imagine here a woman taking the furniture from her house, moving it outside in order to sweep the floor and tear up the carpet to look for one lost coin. How many of you women would do that for a penny? The answer is no one would do that. But God is like that, because there's more rejoicing in heaven over one returned sinner than there would be when all the coins in the world would be found. God's way are not our ways, right? God is surprising. And today's gospel is a beautiful parable of the prodigal son. You know, just to summarize the story once again, in case you weren't paying attention, You know, there's the father has two sons. The youngest one is a wild son. He tells his father, "I'd like you to drop dead, so just give me my share of the inheritance." So the father does that, and he goes off and wastes the money. And after experiencing the loss of everything he had, he realizes that back home he has a loving father, so he begins to trek back home. But before he gets there, his father, an old patriarch, an old man, gets up and runs out to his son. Again, try to picture an old man running out to his son. It's rather funny to envision it. Throws his arm around his son, gives him a new set of clothes, a ring for his finger, shoes for his feet, all symbols that he was no longer a slave but a son, and welcomes him back into the family. And then there's the older son, who represents so many of us, who is resentful. And the reason he's resentful is this, but you know, the younger son already got his share of the property, right? So where is the father getting the money to throw this party for the returned son? From his share. And he's upset that his father would use his inheritance to welcome his brother back to the family. And, you know, I think people of Jesus' time and so many people of our times would say, well, it isn't fair that he would do that. But again, God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. We have a God who loves us, who will do anything in order to bring us back to himself. St. Augustine has a famous saying that we've all heard many times before, and he says, O God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. It's very true, isn't it? We have restless hearts that long for God. But it's also true that God has a restless heart that longs for us, and his heart was not at rest until everyone here, all of us, all of his children, are returned to him. And that's what today's scripture readings are about, the joy that God experiences when we return to him because he loves us. Now, we're invited, of course, to begin thinking like God and to begin acting like God. But even if we don't, he loves us and he acts that way. St. Paul, who writes our second reading, which is from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy, experienced this and tells us very important things in this reading, things that we need to experience in our own lives. St. Paul says, "Beloved, I am grateful to him who has strengthened me, Christ Jesus, our Lord. I was once a blasphemer," that's someone who curses God, "and a persecutor," he persecuted the church, "and arrogant," he thought he was justified by his own works. "But I have been mercifully treated. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ has been abundant. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Apparently that was a saying in the early church that St. Paul held up to his congregation as in some ways a summary of our faith. Once again, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That means to save you and to save me. Let us rejoice and be glad that we have a God like that. And let us try to love one another in the same kind of way.